It is always a pleasure. I've had the opportunity a couple of times to be able to speak here in the yeshiva. It is something which I very much appreciate. I like noting, almost for the historical record, that an old friend of mine, Willie Roth, is the one who had the idea of putting these shiurim together probably about 10 or 12 years ago. Rabbi Tarragon's continued it in a very, very powerful way, and that's great. And it's really just a fantastic opportunity, at least for me, to be here. There's something very, very beautiful about Hoshana Rabbah night here in Yerushalayim. I have a friend who is visiting from Lakewood who actually just wrote to me on WhatsApp. We can, you know, think about the Lakewood WhatsApp thing in a second. But he was the guys I know in Lakewood. So he wrote to me that he was, like, totally blown away. It's like he hasn't been in Sukkot here in Yerushalayim in a long time. And he's never, just like, what goes on Hoshana Rabbah night in Yerushalayim is something which is very, very powerful and something which it's great to take part of. It's also just on a personal note, a lot of people in this room that I feel very, very close to, a lot of people in this room that I, with relationships that I very much value, and to be able to speak together here tonight, that's something which I think is hopefully it's a good opportunity. I do apologize, I don't have sore sheets. I have sore sheets. I didn't have access to a copy machine when I finished the Makoro sheet about an hour ago, so I just apologize for that, but if anyone wants afterwards, I can definitely make copies or send it to you through email and the like. We speak a lot sometimes about, at least I know that I do, people are interested in the conversation in terms of who do you choose for your rabbi? Who do you choose for your Rebbe? What are you looking for? What kind of person are you trying to learn from? And that's one kind of a conversation. It comes up from Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos. Aseh lecha rav v'histalik min hasafik. Someone that can give you a degree of clarity. Aseh lecha rav, you're looking for someone that can give you a way to learn Torah, a way to approach different things, to answer certain questions for you. Different questions in terms of what exactly a person is looking for in a Rebbe. I wanted to speak tonight about a sort of the opposite or the other side of the equation, which is what does it mean to be a Talmud? Well, what exactly does it mean to be a student of someone? What exactly are the expectations? And I want to speak about it from two perspectives. People don't often feel enormous internal struggle between should I become a Brisker or a Breslover chassid. It does not happen that often, although, you know, every once in a while, I guess people go in that direction. But I guess it is interesting to think about in terms of both what it means to be a Talmud of Rabbi Nachman of Breslov and what it means to be a Talmud of Rabbi Chaim Brisker. Two people, and I want to speak about why we're talking about them. They are very, very different. Both of them, though, and here's something which is important, both of them give over a mahalach. What it means to be a Brisker that has certain implications. If you learn Torah a certain kind of way, you have, if you're real, authentic, pure Brisk, you have a particular kind of relationship to halacha and to chumras, a particular relationship to Zionism and to secular studies, a pure brisk, or at least what some would call for sure pure brisk. It's a particular mahalach which is very, very clear. Breslov also, the Torah of Rabbi Nachman, it's going to tell you how you should learn Torah. It's going to tell you how you should relate to Eretz Yisrael. It's going to tell you, obviously, how to spend your Rosh Hashanah. It's going to give you a good deal of insight. What exactly it means if you're a follower of Rabbi Nachman, these are two mahalchim. And when you are dealing with different mahalchim, when you're dealing with an approach like Brisk or an approach like Breslov, so part of the question becomes, so what does it mean to be a Talmud of that? How much do I have to take everything? I got to be all in, or it's okay to take a little bit from here, a little bit from there? What are the different kinds of Talmidim that are really out there? And both of these groups, if we're familiar, again, a little bit with even the history of it, if that's okay for a moment, experienced to a degree in very different ways, intense opposition. Reb Chaim, if you look in the Tshuvas in the base Ridvaz, in the Hagdama of the Ridvaz, the Marcheshes, I believe also, Reb Chaim had a bit of a new style of learning. Reb Chaim had a bit of a different way. What that style is not for now. But many of the classical, old-school Talmidei Chachamim were very opposed to what was going on in the early days of Vilajin. They were opposed when Reb Chaim had all these Talmidim, and his style of learning is carrying the day in so many yeshivas. There's a whole lot of opposition that's taking place to what's going on by Reb Chaim. So Reb Chaim, in a certain sense, emerges victorious in whatever that means. His Torah is Torah. If you look in the Hakdama of his children, the Brisker Rav and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, the Hakdama to Chizkiya Reb Chaim Alevi, on the Rambam. So there they describe how the Torah of Reb Chaim is spread out across the entire world, in all yeshivas all over the place. The way of Soloveitchik once formulated it, it's impossible, the way he said it, to even imagine a person giving a shiur nowadays and not being influenced by the mahalach, by the Torah of Reb Chaim. But Reb Chaim experienced a degree of opposition. He may have emerged on some level of victory, but it's a mahalath that being a Talmud of Reb Chaim in the early days meant that you had to know there were going to be some people that were not going to be with you all the way. Rabbi Nachman Breslover's, in a much more intense way, experienced an enormous amount of controversy in the lifetime of Reb Chaim and immediately following also. Breslover's, for a long time, were a group of Hasidim that were made fun of. Breslover's were a group of Hasidim, they were called like the dead Hasidim, because after Rabbi Nachman, there was no future Rebbe in a certain sense, until Chabad in recent years. That was a little bit of a unique phenomenon. That Breslov, in a certain sense, it was a unique kind of mahalach. There were other tzaddikim within Torah's Hasidus that very much opposed what Rabbi Nachman was doing. He passed away at a young age before. His own uncle, Rav Baruch of Mezhebarz, the Baal Shem's grandson, Rav Nachman is the great-grandson, the Baal Shem's grandson opposes Rabbi Nachman and what's going on there. Breslover, they were a small group of Hasidim, but they also, in a very different way than Brisk, Breslov has picked up in recent years. Professor Tzvi Mark, who's one of the real experts in Breslover Hasidus, describes this very powerfully. Most of the big Hasidim, you think about Chabad, you think about Ger Hasidim, most of the big Hasidim, they started, they grew big, and they stayed big for a long time. They caught on early as far as being these big, big Hasidic sects, and they keep on going that way. Breslov is a very unique phenomenon. Pre-20th century, Breslov's like a bunch of small Hasidim in different places, and suddenly it starts picking up. So we're dealing with Rabbi Nachman, we're dealing with Reb Chaim, people who had mahalchim. They had mahalchim that experienced a degree of controversy, but these are real mahalchim. These are mahalchim that are incredibly popular. They're incredibly popular in so many of the yeshivas that we go to. This is not true 20, 30 years ago, but the Reb Chaim Torah for sure was true in all the yeshivas for a long time. You see a Chidushi Agrach on the Rambam, Agrach on the Shas. You certainly see Achronim, Talmidim of Reb Chaim. You see in his Talmidim's Talmidim. You see a Kovei Chi'urim and you see a Shari Yosher. You see a Birka Shmuel. You see so many just Sfarim that we may be familiar with as far as Achronim, Talmidim Reb Chaim. But it's not rare in, certainly in this yeshiva, part of the legacy of Rav Hadari, for those of you that had the skills of knowing him, of bringing in Torah's Hasidus to the world of Hesder yeshivas, the idea that a person could sit and learn Likutei Moharan or Sichos Haran, that's something which is real. That's something which is very much there. And let's understand a little bit what it meant to be a Talmud of them and what exactly the implications are. We're first going to speak about Reb Chaim, and then we're going to speak about Rabbi Nachman. If you're interested in both of these things, that's wonderful. If you're interested only in Reb Chaim, I guess now listen up. Interested a little bit more only in Rabbi Nachman, feel free to sleeping, I don't know, sukkah is outside sukkah, I don't want to go there. But think about whatever it is that you want to think about. Prepare yourself for Rabbi Nachman, however it is you prepare yourself. His vote does. Just don't scream and pretend that you're in a forest, okay? And we'll try to do our best to be able to, experience it. Okay. How did Reb Chaim teach? What did it mean to be a Talmud of Reb Chaim? So I want to start by just a little bit of this information, which is so interesting. The Sefer HaRav Mibrisk of Meller, who's one of the great biographers of Brisker Rav, describes what Shir was by Reb Chaim in Volozhin. Reb Chaim would come into the Beis Medrash at around 10 o'clock, did not prepare Shir that much. It's an amazing thing in terms of what he did, what he was trying to do as a Rebbe. Reb Chaim walks in, and as a Rebbe, he would go over to guys and say, the way it worked in Volozhin was they started from Brachos and went through Nida. It was just, you gave Shir on everything. And he and the Netziv were alternating Shirim, and each one gave on different sort of dapim, a couple days a week of Chaim, I think a couple days a week the Netziv. Chaim would walk in 10 o'clock and say, so new, any chidushim on this daf that you saw? And ask the guys in the Shir, anything you saw? And say, I saw a great Ravid that argues with the Rambam, and some would say, I saw a great Kashmir Ketos. And Reb Chaim would just talk with the guys from 10 until 12:30. Talk with them about whatever they were learning. He would just deal with them and ask them questions on it and build things with them. And he was involving them very much in the process. 12:30, the shamans would come. Reb Chaim, it's time to go and give briskers. I think the Mesorah of brisk is not to wear watches. So they would, men, at least, not to wear watches. That's not why I don't wear a watch. I don't wear a watch for other reasons, probably because I'm addicted to my smartphone. But they, not really addicted to my smartphone. When they, I hope so. Shamish comes 12:30 and says, time to give Shir. Time Shir would be, from what they describe, a brilliant attempt at bringing together all of what just happened with his discussion with his Talmidim. That part of Reb Chaim, now why would you do that as a teacher? Part of what Reb Chaim was trying to do was to give over a particular mahalach. He was trying to give over a particular style of how to learn, and Reb Chaim's goal was not, and here's a, if you want like a very important yesod, I'm sorry from the I'm sorry. Professor Emmanuel Epkes, it's an unbelievable Ha'ara. This is a golden Ha'ara. Two kinds of Talmidim. Talmidim that follow the conclusions of their Rebbeim, and Talmidim that follow the methodology and approach of their Rebbeim. Many Talmidei HaGra, what makes you a Talmud of the Gra? You do what the Gra said to do. Are you engaged in the process of learning the way the Gra told you to? Are you also being as mechudash, as original as the Gra lav dafka? I'm a Talmud of the Gra may mean I say over the conclusions of the Gra. I say over the vorts of Rav Soloveitchik that he said when he gave shiur. Approach number two as a Talmud, I say over, I do what they did. I try to do whatever it is that they did. So they were learning a certain style. So my goal is to also learn in that same style. Different kinds of Talmud Chaim is on some level trying to give over also a certain kind of style of learning. What does it mean to be a Talmud? I'll give you three kinds of Talmidim of Reb Chaim. This, I think, is just, it's so intriguing. Even the Hakdamas of Sfarim, you see some of this. Reb Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, Reb Beryl, the son of the Brisker Rav, not the Soloveitchik that is more commonly quoted in our circles. Reb Beryl had a vort. It's a vort that Reb Wolbe had also, but it's said over a little bit more intensely in the world of Bris because they say things over more intensely. The Gemara tells us that Slagiga, then Marab Domel, Lamal Hashem Tzvako, Tori Vachshami Piyu. So Chazal Darshan, that if your Rebbe is similar to a Malach, he's similar to an angel, so then that's the person you should try to learn from, if he's similar to, if he's angelic. When you are teaching is the most awkward Gemara in the world, because everyone's like, I don't think so. You know, like, I think like, so the, what does it mean to be Domel, Lamal Hashem Tzvako? So it will be suggested, but Yosef Dov Soloveitchik had the same ha'ara, which is the following. A malach, we know, is defined by his mission. A malach can only have one shlichus at a time. And part of what it means to be a malach is that you are doing exactly what you are sent to do. A malach doesn't do anything else. The malach's job is just to fulfill a mission. Says the Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, says Rebel Soloveitchik, that your job as a Rebbe is to give over a pure sense of mission, give over whatever you got, give that exactly over. And your job as a Talmud is to take whatever you got and just to give that over. Your job is to be a pure mikabel, I receive it entirely, and that's exactly what I give over. The way the Brisker Rav said it once, if you ever walk into a yeshiva and you see a guy that's a bigger lamed than anyone else, he's more proficient in the analytical or conceptual study of Talmud. You walk in, he's just better in learning. Says it's not a function, says the Brisker Rav, of him being a bigger masman necessarily. The ultimate defining characteristic is he is a mikabel. He receives and he accepts everything. In hashkafa, in derech halimud, in Torah, everything. That's his job, to take everything and be able to give it over. That's part of what one mahalach and some of the real Talmidim, Reb Chaim, is pure. Reb Baruch Ber, the Birka Shmuel, is all the time his Torahs, Reb Zevin in Ishtim Rishit, when he describes the Sefer Birka Shmuel, it's a very difficult Sefer. So much of the Torah is always, this is what Reb Chaim said, the way they describe Reb Chaim would give shir, he would speak in like a very terse kind of a way, and then after shir, they had very little idea of what he was really saying, what was really going on. So they describe two different things that would happen. The Brisker Rav would go into Reb Chaim, that was his father, and say, I have no idea what you said today. Can you please say it over? So he would say it over with the exact same word. Brisker Rav would say, I'm still not really following. How about one more time? Same words again. He'd say like, no, I need like more words to get this done. And the Brisker Rav would then, Reb Chaim would explain to the Brisker Rav what exactly he meant in a bit of a longer. Reb Baruch Ber, they say, was a very hardcore Talmud of Reb Chaim. I think they say even once when one of his Talmidim once had a bad word about Reb Chaim, it wasn't even really a bad word. I think he wouldn't talk to the Talmud for months. He was a very hardcore Talmud. Baruch Ber would go into a room and just like learn pshat in every word that Reb Chaim said. And like try to break it down like every single. So Baruch Ber, that's one kind of a Talmud where you accept everything. But there are two other kinds of Talmidim Reb Chaim, at least for now. One is a very, it's a very intriguing comment. I don't know if anyone, Evan HaEzel is a sefer by Rishon Zalman Meltzer on the Rambam. Rishon Zalman, Evan HaEzel, he's a Talmud of Reb Chaim. He is also the father-in-law of Reb Aaron Cutler. He is the, I think, grandfather-in-law of Reb Yehuda Amital from Yeshivat Haratzion, which makes him the great-grandfather of Reb Yoel Amital from, not even in law, just like great-grandfather, that's how those things work, of Reb Yoel Amital. So in the Hakdama to Evan HaEzel, Sefer Kinyan, He has an amazing comment. I think it's pretty well, I don't know how you say this, it's known amongst those who know, which is obviously like a nonsensical comment. So the Ibn Ezel, he says as follows. I'm writing a sefer on the Rambam, and on the one hand, I'm not going to be able to always give these like awesome chilukim and hakdaros, like the way that like my Rebbe Reb Chaim did in Sefer Reb Chaim Alevi on the Rambam. I'm not able to do it because he says not every difficult Rambam can be explained with like a fancy chiluk like Reb Chaim, and that sometimes we're going to have to give like other kinds of vorts, other kinds of explanations to try to explain a certain kind of Rambam. I believe they say, I'm not going to say the name. They say in the name of one, again, Rishon Zalman said, not every difficult Rambam can be explained like Reb Chaim. So I think they say that Rishon Zalman couldn't explain every difficult Rambam like Reb Chaim, but like Reb Chaim could. Part of what Rishon Zalman is saying right there, I'm not taking sides, I'm just conveying the information, but part of what Rishon Zalman is saying is sometimes being a Talmud, you get a Mahalach which is brilliant, and it's one that's very impressive, but it doesn't mean that you as a Talmud will always be able to recreate it. Not everything is always replicable at all times. And part of what it meant for him to be a Talmud was to know when to invoke Reb Chaim, but then to know when he could do something different. And when it wasn't the time, the way he would say, for invoking something along the lines of Reb Chaim, that's at least the way in the Ibn Ezel, that's how he would describe it. So it's a Talmud of Reb Chaim, but it's going to look different, and not because Reb Chaim, what he was doing wasn't great. Reb Chaim was great. But it can't be done at all times in all the same way. It's like sometimes if you go to a shir, to give you two different models of shirim. You ever go to an Ian shir? There's two kinds of Ian shirim. There are many more kinds. This is an oversimplification, but you'll go with me. One kind of a shir is where you have a Rebbe who skips from like major sugya to major sugya to major sugya. And that's where you're always going to have certain like very fancy kinds of chilukim and things like that, because I'm going from major sugya to major sugya. Part of what Mr. Zalman is saying, though, is that, remember, this is a transition for me, is that when you start learning straight, so not every sugya has like this awesome Reb Chaim that's going to like, whoa, or this awesome Achron that's telling you something where you're like, that's unbelievable. Sometimes it's just called like learning. And you're just like learning the Rishonim there and like trying to do your best. I want to analyze, I want to be conceptual, but not all sugyas are created equal, but we still have a responsibility as a Rishon Zalman to learn all sugyas. And therefore, sometimes part of being a Talmud is like along the way. So on the one hand, you have the Brisker Rav, the Brisk kind of Mahal, which means it is everything. Torah, Hashkafa, Derech HaLimud, all the way, Hanhagas. How many Esrogim you take, Lulav, Dalminim, of what kind of Esrog you take, and how do I borrow Esrog from these people, and when I dive in Vasikin, and what exactly you do, so many Brisk, all the way there. Rishon Zalman, sometimes being a Talmud means there are times when I can invoke this, and sometimes a little bit less so. The third mahalach, because I want to get to Rabbi Nachman, the third mahalach, briefly, I remember when I was in YU, so I went to hear a shir from someone. So I always like asking the question before I hear. I have an interest in how people learn. I find it intriguing. So I said, I heard a shir, I said, who's that person a Talmud of? So they said, oh, he's a Talmud of Rebbe X. And I'm thinking like, really? Because like, what he just gave shir on is like nothing at all along the lines of the style of the person he claims to be his Rebbe. So, like, what's going on there? And sometimes what you find by Talmidei Reb Chaim also, most famously by Reb Shimon and Shari Yosher, Reb Shimon Shkap. Importantly, I believe he's from the town in Ukraine, from the town of Turchek, which is where the Turetskis are from. It's a great historical aside, as opposed to mentioning that he was once in YU, which is often what gets mentioned with Reb Shimon Shkap. So, in the Shari Yosher, so Reb Shimon does something very different. I want to give you... It's a different Derech HaLimud piece. It's one that I want to give, almost late at night, I want to give a little bit of an example, if that's okay. Let's get some, like, how many people here are familiar with Rav Elchanan's, like, two ways of understanding Migo? How many of you are familiar with Rav Elchanan's two ways of understanding Migo? That is not enough for the example I'm going to give right now. So, I'll just give the example in a more abstract way, which will probably not anywhere clearer. So, let's, in the world of Brisk, in pure Brisk, the question of why is never asked. The question you're asking in Brisk is the question of what. I want to be magdir things. What is migo? That's one of the reasons why they like kachim, because kachim is less based on svara. It's much more based on gzeiros hakasav. It's not that much like svara based in terms of like the reason why it works this way. I'm defining how it works. This is what a shliach is. But why is a shliach an independent person as opposed to just an extension? I don't care. Why? I'm defining terms. I'm defining how things work. The question of why is such an odd, I don't know, why did God create the world? I have no idea. A lot of wonderful why questions that relate to God that I can't fathom. So I want to understand just the question of what. Reb Shimon, on some level, is a, Reb Shimon's a Talmud learned by Reb Chaim, but the Torah of Reb Shimon, that's why it's a Torah that for many of us, it may resonate with more, is a Torah where he's taking what his Rebbe did, but he's adding his own angle on things. It's the why question. Why does it work this way? Where's the world of Svara going to be able to come into? We try to explain different things. Let's highlight it so far so we can get move on to Rabbi Nachman. That'll be a little bit different and hopefully a little bit more, I don't know what, depending on how late it is and how tired I am, a little bit more wild. But what you have is as follows. The world of Brisk is a different style, a different mahalach. It's a systematic, comprehensive mahalach for how a person lives their life. What does it mean to be from the world of Brisk? If you're a real Brisker Rav person, it means I'm mekabel everything. For Rishul Zalman, I can't be mekabel. I can't always do exactly what Reb Chaim did, but there are cases when I can, that's great, but for a lot of the time, I have to deal with me, the material I have, what I can do and function that way. The third is sometimes you're a Talmud of someone, you're really sort of doing your own kind of a thing. Let's move on to Rabbi Nachman. What does it mean to be Talmud Rabbi Nachman? And let's try to quote some wild stuff here. Alel Matrufa is the Talmud of Rabbi Nachman, is Rabbi Nassan. So Rabbi Nassan has the following line. If any of us have not ever been familiar with Brezhnev Chassidus, so they really believe in the powers of Rabbi Nachman. It's like a really important thing for them. Even if you think about it for a second, the fact that you have a group of Breslovers, that there's no Rebbe, formal Rebbe afterwards. So Rabbi Nachman believed he was someone that could be relevant even afterwards. Let's listen up to the following line. This is Rabbi Nassan, the Rabbi Nachman, Talmud Mufak. Va'ani yodeya u'ma'amin be'emes. I believe. It's al matrufa michtav shin nun. It's the michtavim of Rabbi Nassan. I believe. Sh'adoneinu moreinu v'rabbeinu. Yodeya heitev b'kolios v'pratiyos. Kol ma'asha na'asa im kol nefashos. Bechol dor vador miyom bara elokim adam al haaretz adheina v'yatofa acharon. I believe, he didn't say it b'munah shlema, but I'm guessing it's b'munah shlema with complete faith, that Rabbi Nachman knew, both in general terms and specific terms, what would happen to every soul from the beginning of the creation of the world until the end. V'yodeya ko ataki, I think I mistyped that, tikunim shokol echad v'echad, and he knows exactly what every single person should do. The Rabbi Nachman, and here just give some background. If you're a Breslover, you believe that Rabbi Nachman was not just a Rebbe for those that were there. They often quote the Pasuk of Parshas Nitzavim, "Es Asher Yeshnu Poayom," and even those that are Einenu Poayom. The Rabbi Nachman, the same Matan Torah is binding on all of us, channeling that Pasuk. Matan Torah is binding not only in those Jews that were at Matan Torah, but even though I was never there, it's still considered to be binding on me. So Rabbi Nachman was someone that told over Torah that was relevant, not only for those that were physically there at that time, but also Es Asher Einenu Poayom. Even those that were not going to be there, Rabbi Nachman was still going to be relevant. Sichos Aran, Os, Reish, Tes, Rabbi Nachman said, Shekol HaTorahs V'Sichos Shelo Einam B'Shvilam L'Chud. When you speak sometimes, said Rabbi Nachman, the Torah I'm giving over, don't make the mistake of thinking the Torah I'm giving over is only relevant for the people sitting in this room right now. Now, many of us in the world of like recorded Shi'urim and the like, that's very easy for us to like understand that. You have these shiurim times where there's like three people there and there's like so many that listen to it afterwards. But Rabbi Nachman, he's saying, it's the live shiur and in many ways that's it. But don't make the mistake Rabbi Nachman said of thinking that the Torah I'm giving is only for you. That part of Rabbi Nachman trying to do was to give future generations a mahalach. What's so amazing about this is that what Rabbi Nachman did was he was living in an era. He was living at a time where he was a small group of Hasidim, persecuted, critiqued, made fun of, and for Doros, Breslovers are talking about all how, and Rabbi Nachman's Torah is relevant to everyone, and everyone should be connected to Rabbi Nachman, and doesn't even believe that for the Geula to come, the Torah Rabbi Nachman has to say, that's one of the reasons why you have these Breslovers sometimes who are going to come out and give you like tons of just like, booklets and booklets and booklets wherever you are, because Rabbi Nachman's Torah helped bring the Geula. At least in certain sects of Breslov, they're different kinds of Breslovers, but they really believe in that in a very, very strong way. And for generations, they're writing and learning these Sfarim, and part of the godless, the way that, again, someone, a Breslover would say it, is that it took centuries, but his Torah is spreading. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands that go to Uma. and there's Chabad Minyan and Uman, and there are Temani Minyanim and Uman, and there are just so many different kinds of Jews who are coming there because there was a Torah which was very relevant even afterwards. What are the two things that, for the legacy of Rabbi Nachman, we'll speak about two things of Rabbi Nachman that very much sort of resonate, and what it means nowadays, we speak about Talmid and Rabbi Nachman, in particular, what it means for those of us, if we can like focus on a little bit, who are not formally speaking Breslov. I don't know what it means to be formally Breslov. It's not a classic, like, you know what I'm saying? Oxymoron, I believe is what it would be called. But a, they don't like card carrying, you know what I'm saying? It's like you identify as such, and you're... One. What does it mean to be a Talmud? What does it mean to be a Talmud? So one thing that Rabbi Nachman gave over was a variety of messages that deeply, deeply resonate with people now. The way that Rabbi Nachman described how to learn Gemara B'Iyan is not his ultimate legacy as far as what people are really doing, of just like, you know, reading, reading, reading. What is Rabbi Nachman's real legacy are certain ideas that we've all heard. Things that we've all heard, but I want to speak about a second more, I guess, important element, or for us at least, more Mekudash element. We've all heard certain phrases of Rabbi Nachman that are just so well known. We've all heard Mitzvah Gedolah B'Simchat Tamid. We all know Rabbi Nachman. You know, Rabbi Nachman, this is a bad thing and a good thing. So much of Rabbi Nachman's Torah we associate with like three or four different bumper stickers. You know, like Mitzvah Gedolah B'Simchat Tamid. Like, never have Yeyosh. Kol Am Kulo Gets a Tarma Oda. And there's the bumper sticker, but like it could be. You know what I mean? Like things like that. And sometimes, those are all part of Torah. Kutim Aran is a very, very difficult sefer. But to be able, there are certain ideas of Rabbi Nachman that were telling you how you can live your life. For Chaim, his primary legacy is the way that you learn. That's his much greater impact. Both Rabbi Nachman and Reb Chaim have your very close Talmidim that do everything in line. You have your real Breslovers, you have your real Briskers. But both of them had like secondary impact. Those of you that are influenced, or those of us that are influenced by their Torah, without being a full-blown Brisker. That's true, without all Brisker on Huggas and things like that, or without all Breslover on Huggas, you know, at least sometimes, and things like that. And what it really, on some level, there are ideas here about never giving up, and the importance of being able to struggle with the Yerida, and what it means to have depression. And one of the great things about Breslov, and this is such an important point, They're crazy honest about Rabbi Nachman. They're not hiding anything about Rabbi Nachman. They're not having a hard time. They're right about that. Rabbi Nachman having certain nisyonos, certain struggles, and going through it. It's not the kind of like biography, which is that he was always a tzaddik, he was always perfect, he was born that way and stayed that way. It was Rabbi Nachman who worked very, very hard, and he described the struggle Rabbi Nachman went with. And part of the godless Rabbi Nachman is giving insight in terms of a mahalach and avodas Hashem. And for those that are not all there, giving over messages and ideas that so deeply resonate. So many times, at least for me, when I'm talking with someone who's struggling with, it's going to be a long chorus month, those of us that are in yeshiva, it's a long chorus month. And sometime, you know, deep into chorus month, or about an hour in, guys come over with those kinds of conversations sometimes. Like, I don't know, like I'm having like a little bit of a, I don't know, ups and downs, it's hard, struggle, things like that. For me, at least what I find, it does it for me, and I try to share it. It's Torah Rabbi Nachman, which speaks to that struggle. It speaks to that struggle of ups and downs. It speaks to the struggle of going through it, and that's one kind of a piece of a legacy that comes from Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman left something else also. And this is something which is, on some level, we know this, but I want to describe it a little bit because it's a big chiddush of Rabbi Nachman's. Rabbi Nachman gave over tikkunim. Gave her things that you could do that would help you. Gave her things you could do that in the mystical way would connect you to him, even La'achar Misa, and be able to take you somewhere. I want to read for you a section. Let me see if I can. Chaim Moran Os Reish Chafhei. This is some, I don't know, it's like wild. K'vartiach Rabbeinu Zichron Levracha B'chaya. Rabbi Nachman said when he was alive, he said it over in front of two Eidim. She says, Rabbi Nachman knew he was passed away. He was very, very sick. Some wild stuff about why Rabbi Nachman thought he was sick and why he may have, maybe did not have regrets about doing the things he did that caused him to be sick. Rabbi Nachman said when he passes away, when you come to his kever, and you give a little bit of tzedakah, and some gear says you have to give it, Rabbi Nachman. If you do that, V'yomru elu ha'asar k'pitel tehillim. You say 10 prakim of tehillim. That's what's colloquially referred to as tikkun klali. You go to Reb Nachman's kever, you get some tzedakah, you say tikkun klali, 10 specific prakim of tehillim. As says Reb Nachman, I'm going to get your back. Uvada yoshil is that, or I guess more appropriately here, v'amar shebeha peyos yotzi oso migahenem. That if you, by the Jacob Peyos doesn't actually work. You have to also, like, do stuff a little bit, even for Rabbi Nachman.
Let me answer one reader.
Yeah.
He said you actually already pay, so you can take your ears also.
Okay. Enough besser. Great. Okay, so, yeah, that's. I'm a Kabbal that. I'll be a Kabbal. I also have a lot invested in not needing payas for that. Says Rabbi Nachman will take you out of Gehenim. Afilum yeya oso adam, ich sheyeya. Afilum manasha avar avar. Even if a guy messed up, if you connect yourself to the tzaddik, even la'achar misa, he will still get your back, he'll still take care of you, as long as you're mekabel pahar, you have to try to be better going forward, but that there's a tikkun klali, there are tikkunim that you could do. You say those 10 prakim tehillim, the way it's evolved in the world of Breslov on some level, being at his kever is even more powerful, being there, giving tzedakah l'il nishmaso, being connecting to Rabbi Nachman is even more powerful, but if you don't even go there, you just say these 10 prakim of tehillim of tikkun klali. Many of us, I imagine, have gotten booklets that have tikkun klali in it. If we don't know that, it's only because we did not open them. But those tikkun klali things where it's very clear, say the 10 prakim of tehillim and be able to learn that. If you do that, it will afford you a certain kind of kapara, a certain kind of ensuring that you are going to be able to not go to the world of Gehenim. It'll give you some forgiveness. There's a prati and a klali, but for Rabbi Nachman, tikkun klali can get you done. It can help you a little bit. Part of what Rabbi Nachman did, part of what he was able to give over, was not just values and ideas that are inspiring and important, but lemaisa, do these things. Do these things, and then you're going to be able to turn around, and you're going to be in a much more powerful place. You're going to be able to walk away with this and be someone who's somewhere else. If you look in the Sefer, I find this to be a very, very powerful line. Sefer called Siach Sarfei Kodesh. I'm aware of three svarim called Siach Sarfei Kodesh. They're all legitimately fascinating. One of them, which is the most fascinating, is transcripts of conversations between the Lubavitch Rebbe and other like Rabbanim that came to visit him. So interesting. So interesting. Like all those like videos, anyone see the videos of, like the Rebbe talking to people? So there was someone, and God bless him, who spent a lot of time just like transcripts of all of those things. It's awesome. It's like it's so interesting. See, that's one. Another sefer called Siach Sarfei Kodesh, which is a three-volume set, which is of the Torah of Pshischa. Many of the Chassidus, aside from Breslov and Chabad, that gets learned, as far as like Ger Chassidus, Sfas Emes, Kotsk, Ishbitz, Ritzadok, the Alexander, come from the world of Pshischa. So three volumes on Torah from Pshischa. Also a sefer called Siach Sarfei Kodesh, which is written by, I think about 50 years ago or so, by a Breslover Chassid. It's very, very powerful. Torah we're describing it now. Here's a line that I like a lot, because it says something about Kol Misha Omer Es HaTikun HaKlali Nechshav Bazel Levad Kvar Kimikurav L'Rabbeinu Zatzal. The standards don't have to always be in the world of Breslov. They don't have to always be for all Breslovers. The be mikabel everything, the way the Brisker Rav described it. Ha kol, the malach focused on a mission. I get everything. That's exactly what I give over. I don't change anything. Part of what is true in Breslov, which is why if you're in Breslov, the fact that lots of different Jews are coming to Uman, they look very different. Part of it, you can be mekurav l'Rabbeinu. You can be connected to Rabbi Nachman and not be everything. And not be a full Breslover. What you don't have to do everything. I can still be connected on some level. I want to chazer and just maybe share with you one or two concluding thoughts, if that is if that's okay. We spoke a little bit about what it means to be a Talmud. What does it mean to be someone who learns from someone else? We spoke about Brisk and Breslov. We spoke about a world that has a mahalach, a world that has a mahalach which has continued to be relevant. A world that has a mahalach that sometimes has opposition. And part of being a Talmud sometimes is sticking with a Rebbe, even when sometimes there's some opposition. Although sometimes it's also knowing when to, you know, move on. But there's definitely Brisk. It's about being a Talmud. We saw when it comes to Brisk that amongst the Brisker Rav, it's being there all the way. But for some of Reb Chaim's Talmidim, they weren't always doing everything their Rebbe did. Not always everything their Rebbe did. I got now... I bought like a, it's such like an intriguing safer. Safer of like Reb Chaim Kanievsky's Hanhagas. What I find most amazing about it is every Hanhaga, or more, many Hanhagas, have a picture of Reb Chaim Kanievsky like doing the Hanhaga. So for like the visual learners that don't follow what it means that he buttons his top button before davening, don't worry, there's a picture of Reb Chaim Kanievsky buttoning his top button. So if you didn't follow that, they got it covered for you. It's incredibly interesting. Reb Chaim Kanievsky is a nephew of the, and a Talmud of the Chazon Ish. Even there, he was on Hanhaga, so he's definitely largely impacted by the Chazon Ish, but not everything the Chazon Ish did is necessarily is what sometimes there are different things that are not always 100% pure Chazon Ish the same way. And some of Reb Chaim's Talmidim were able to find their own chelek, and some of them knew their own limitations of what I can and can't recreate. We then saw that in the world of Rabbi Nachman's a different kind of Rebbe. Nachman's a Rebbe that's not giving you the tools to go on forever, but it's always being there with you. The Rebbe Nachman's never leaving you. The Rebbe Nachman said this, even when I'm gone from this world, it doesn't mean that in the next world I won't be there. It doesn't mean I don't know what's going to happen. It doesn't mean the Torah I'm giving is not directly relevant to you now. And it doesn't mean that if you follow these tikkunim, some tikkunim for Rebbe Nachman's life, some tikkunim at the end of his life to do afterwards, you follow those tikkunim, he'll still be there for you. It's a kind of Rebbe that's always there. Rebbe Nachman describes in one place that tzaddikim, I believe that there's some tzaddikim that are relevant when they're alive, but afterwards are done. Their impact was when they were alive. There are certain tzaddikim, says Rabbi Nachman, that their impact is an impact which lingers. It's an impact which, at least for Breslov, we would say, it builds. Impact only becomes more relevant. Because Rabbi Nachman, the way Breslov would say, is always, always there for you. Many of us had the opportunity in this year or two or years when we are learning here in Eretz Yisrael to be able to learn by Rebbeim, and also to be able to think a little bit about what it means to be a Talmud, and what it means to learn from someone, and what it means to know when to receive and when to be original, to know that sometimes the irony that those who are most mivatel themselves are also the ones who are most original. Sometimes those who talk about being mekabel everything are the ones who are also so innovative and so vibrant. And knowing what that means and knowing what people are trying to give over and to be sensitive to a particular mahalach that many of us is getting is something which is very important. Tomorrow night, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to be celebrating Simchas Torah. We're going to be celebrating Simchas Torah, celebrating in many ways the fact that we finished Torah, but in a bit of a deeper sense, not only the fact that we finished Torah, but our relationship to Torah. And part of our relationship to Torah, undoubtedly, is the fact that we're part of a Mesorah that's continued door after door, a Mesorah that's had innovative people like Reb Chaim in his own way innovative, although obviously, again, within certain standards, Rabbi Nachman, innovative in a way which he spoke about, Chiddush Kamoni, a certain kind of very, very powerful Chiddush, but people also who knew how to carry on certain traditions. And the balance between what it means, again, with our relationship to Torah, what it means to be a Talmud, what it means to receive Torah, and what that can do for us in our own relationship to Torah is something which is incredibly powerful. Once again, a great schus to be able to be here with all of you. Wish you all a good yontif, Chag Sameach, for the last day.